Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, I'm the new singer of Hightower. It's official.
There's a new singer, Timo.
I'm the new singer.
Fuck you.
Now there's a singer. Everybody wanted a voice. Here it is. I'm the guy.
Timo, everybody.
Hi everyone. Yeah. My name's Tony.
Welcome.
Welcome to me.
Just give it the old college try right here.
Oh, big dog's in.
Schmitty! What do you think, Schmitty?
Help me out. Partner act.
Talking Schmidt.
He's so fucking busy.
Shit my pants, lad.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
Are you ready?
Come on, Schmitz.
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yeah!
All right, what's up, podcasters? We're back in the SFC, day before the Super Bowl. And we got episode lucky number 7. And boy, are you in luck, because we got Grindline Skate Park's Money Gun, Dogshit's new pro, Skate Rock Survivor. Please welcome RPM, Flying Ryan Patrick McWhorter, a.k.a. Peabody. What's up, bod? How you doing today?
Just fine.
Oh, and happy birthday to my sister, Jenna.
Who is the one responsible for first calling you Peabody?
That would be Tom Meow, a.k.a. Black Tom.
About what year?
Fuck, dude. That'd have to be like, I was probably like 13, and I had glasses like you do right now, which I also need to get a new pair, but he'd call me Professor Peabody because I look like that fucking cartoon character, the little white dog, you know?
Yeah.
Peabody and Sherman. So yeah, that's where it came from.
And then when did you become the bod?
Summer Comes Early, Deluxe Tour. That was coined by Frank. Because there was a, I think we like pulled over for a piss stop, and it was just this, like an auto body shop that just said The Body Shop. And so Frank wanted to take a picture with me. So he's like, never stuck, I guess.
Sick. Yeah, Sean hit me up and was like, the podcast.
He sent me that text, too.
True or false, you were born in the same city as Michael Jackson?
No, false. I mean, I don't know. I thought he's from Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
I'm from, I was born in the south side of Indianapolis.
True or false, you were an extra in the movie Breaking Away?
False. I did grow up watching that movie, though.
All right. True or false, you bought firecrackers in a tiny shack in Gary, Indiana from a guy with a lit cigarette?
True. Yeah, I forgot all about that. I was like, damn, dude, this dude's like smoking cigs in this fucking firework warehouse.
True or false, you placed at the first Chili Bowl at Crocker?
The first? No. That'd be the last one at Crocker. Because I never skated them until the last one.
Oh.
And Sean was like all drunk, and I wasn't even going to skate it. And he was like, you got, because he's like, couldn't skate. He had to go do something, or he's all faded. Like, you got to rep it for the fucking locals and shit. So I'm like, all right, fuck it, fine then. But it was like $15 entry fee. And Rob Collinson, he's like, you're going to skate? And I'm like, I don't have $15 to skate this stupid contest, you know? He's like, I got you, don't worry about it. And, what's his name? Fucking Josh Mattson beat me. I got second. He got first.
You got second. He got first.
I got second. Yeah, the last.
The old alley boneless
bowl.
In.
Yeah.
That was his move. All right. True or false? In a 5-year span, you made it to the 500 club over 500 times.
Easily. I've probably been there 500 times in a year. Me and Sean used to live like 2 doors down from there. Go there every fucking day.
Yeah. Shout out to the bartenders for the free brew.
Sub Donnie. Bradley. Griot.
What do you got? Black and orange or red and gold?
Both, man.
No preference? No, that one's not more than the other?
I love going to baseball games more than football games.
Yeah.
I like watching the football games in the bar because, like, I just drove past Candlestick and was like, damn.
Yeah.
You know?
Done.
But I would, because we would get football tickets and I'd be like, eh. Because it's so hard to, like, get a beer or, like, even take a piss.
Yep.
And you can't really see it that good. So, like, I'd rather just watch football from the bar. But
yeah.
I love going to the stadium for baseball.
Yeah, me too. That's the
personally.
Shit.
But I love both teams the same.
Super Bowl-wise, you got Patriots or Rams?
I fucking don't like either of them.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I fuck New England. Yeah, Rob Welsh, you hear that? And then I'll fuck the Rams anyway, so just watch the shit for the commercials.
Just watch Fatty get bombed before the first quarter?
Yeah, I think Fatty said that he was going to go for the Rams.
Oh, damn.
But I'm not sure. I don't quote me on that.
There is a LA in front of that word Rams.
Yeah.
Don't forget that, Fatty.
Giants' number one rival.
Do you remember the earliest recollection of meeting me, like when we started fucking?
No, I was actually thinking about that on the way here. I'm like, I don't remember where I met that, where I fucking met Greg.
I got photos from like 2005 or 4, I think, was the earliest ones I remember. Like, what year was that Crocker Chili Bowl that you placed?
Fuck, I have no idea.
Yeah. It was around that time, though, because we went on camping trips, like, with Drehobel.
Yeah, because I met Drehobel in Preston. I worked at the pizza shop making pizzas around the corner from Drehobel's house.
Oh.
And so when Preston still lived in San Diego, but Anna lived in Marin, he would come and stay at, Drehobel's house. And so he brought him over, and I'd made him pizza slices.
Oh, sick.
Because I would always load, he's like, oh, yeah, but hey, man, I think we're going to go on some trips here pretty soon. I had to come over and meet you to see how your pizza slices are going. And I'm like, yeah, for sure, dude. And I, like, just loaded it up with all the toppings, you know?
Yeah.
More than normal.
Huh.
And that was where I met Preston. I was at 29th and Church, San Francisco.
I remember that. I think that was...
That was the era of the... Because I worked there when that Crocker contest was going on.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we probably went on a trip to Oregon or something and...
Probably.
Yeah. How did you meet Fatty and Sean and them?
Well, when I moved to SF when I was like 14, my aunt, the only skate park in town was Crocker.
Yeah.
And so I would just go to Crocker every day. But back then, you know, they were like, you know, Crocker was a lot different. Or mad standoffish, you know, like, fuck, anybody knew.
Yeah.
You know? But I would just come every day. And I remember one day, like, we were sitting on the ledge, and I hadn't said a word to any of them, but I'd been going there for quite a while. And then Sean passed me the blunt. You want to hit it? And I was like, fuck yeah. And then he's like, we're going to go to this keg party tonight. You want to come? And I was like, fuck yeah. And then I think every single fucking day after that, we was like attached at the hip for like a long time. But then that's how that came up. But there was only like, at the Crocker kids, there was only like a few of us.
Yeah.
Maybe like 6 or 8.
You.
That like steady skaters, you know?
Jordy, Fatty, you, Sean.
Yeah, Max.
Max.
Ronald, yeah. Moochie.
Right.
Willard,
oh, yeah,
ST.
Moochie. Hell yeah.
Poker was there every day too. Before
yep.
That was when he rode a BMX bike. Tony Campos. Tony and Poker were BMXers back then.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Redder.
Oh, yeah.
Redder.
Wait, you lived with Redder for a minute, right?
Nah, he moved in with me, like, later on.
What? Tell me the story about his feet.
He's just fucked up. He's got trench foot. He's got it bad. Like, he'd just be there like, he's got, like, crate. We're just sitting around the couch, like, smoking weed and fucking eating stolen Safeway pizzas.
Holy,
and he's just like picking at his feet, just got like gaping craters in there. Sorry, Redder, but that was.
People had to wear flip flops when they took showers, I heard.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't ever shower over there.
Oh, man.
Crumb Snacks were showered there one night. That was pretty fucking weird. Sean will probably remember that.
Fuck.
Oh, and Pablo. Don't forget Pablo.
Mmm.
Absolutely.
Forget,
can't forget fucking Pablo.
Yeah, we need Pablo on here, actually.
Oh, that.
Tell the story about you and Preston going blow for blow on shoulder punches when you were really young.
I was 21, so that's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That fucking sucked. So I was sitting in my house, like, just chilling, dead sober, and fucking Sean calls me. And he's like, dude, Jake wants to talk to you. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, Jake, what up, you know? And he's like, come on, you go fucking drink with me. You got to meet us at the fucking bar, you know? So I'm like, all right, fuck, dude. I wasn't even trying to, like, go out. I go meet Sean, Preston, and Jake at Treat Street. And we get kicked out of Treat Street. And Preston is just on one. And he goes, and this is only when he had Oscar. He didn't have any more than one kid, you know? This is that long ago. He goes, the bartender's, like, kicking us out. And I'm, like, dead sober, just trying to hang out. He's like, fuck, this is rugged. And he goes, fuck you forever. Don't talk to my kids. I got three fucking kids. He said some shit like that. And then I guess they'd already been kicked out of, like, most of the bars in the immediate neighborhood. And so we go to Pop's. And I'm just sitting there, sober. And Preston just starts fucking, like, just punching me. But he does it with the knuckle thing.
Oh.
And he's a big fucking dude. I was probably, like, 5'4", you know? And I'm like, stop it. And I, like, didn't want to, like, because every, like, he punched me back, you know?
You're like a buck 20.
Yeah, and I, like, punched him back, and it was just like, you know, like a feather hitting him, you know, like a fly landing on his shoulder. And he just kept doing it, but he was, like, so drunk that he kept missing my arm and hitting me in the ribs.
Oh.
And even Jake was like, man, you got to fucking stop that shit, dude. Like, and I got kind of pissed at one point, and I, like, went to break a bottle on his head, and he was like, fucking do it. Do it. And I was like, that's probably not a good idea. But he just would not stop. And my whole arm, my whole shoulder, and my arm down to my elbow was, like, purple. And my ribs, I had this massive purple bruise on the inside of my ribs. And, of course, it, like, starts raining. For sure it was raining. I remember this. And the bartender, so then he sets up all, there's, like, one group of people sitting in the corner. And he sets all the bar stools up like bowling ball pins. And run and slides, and Pete roses his head into the bar stools and knocks them all over. And the dude's like, you're fucking out of here, dude. And I'm like, okay, fine. And he's like, and Preston goes, all right, we'll leave, but you got to arm wrestle me, you know?
To the bartender?
And he goes, if I win, one more round of beers and shots, and then we'll leave. And he won. The dude, like, he was fighting it, but then, like,
Did the guy give you the shots and beer?
I don't really remember.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure, but then we kicked us out, and Preston couldn't find his fucking truck, and so we're walking down 24th Street, and I'm on the other side of the street from him. He's, like, this bowling ball head just walking down the street with his hands in his pockets trying to find his truck, and I'm screaming at him from, like, Bryant and 24th, like, Preston, just come to my house. The last thing I wanted was to keep him around me at that moment, you know? And then he just walked home. All the way to the Excelsior.
Oh, damn.
In the rain. And I was like, good thing I don't have to deal with his fucking ass no more tonight. It was always some shit like that. Then he calls me in the morning. Hey, bud. Found the truck. What are you doing? It's right by Clooney's. Want to meet me there?
Like, I got your first bloody.
And I'm like, no, I don't want to fucking meet you. Can't even move my arm. I remember we went to the Alien Workshop premiere. It was like a couple days later. And I was talking to somebody, and that dude, Jamie Thomas, was like, Jake was, I was like saying what's up to Jake, and he's talking to Jamie Thomas, and he's like, look at this motherfucker's arm. I remember showing him my arm, and he was like, damn, who did that to you? What'd you slam on? And I'm like, I slammed on Preston's fist, dude. Sitting at the fucking bar.
Fuck.
That was a classic one. Just him standing with his hands in his pockets and 24th and Bryant in the rain, just staring down. Come on, dude, let's go. Just so hard-headed, like,
yeah.
Nope.
What year did you get on Anti-Hero? How did that all go down?
I was at a skate contest in Minnesota. Whoa. I took a Greyhound bus there, and I met Darren Howard, and he was like, oh, I want to hook you up with a fucking Spitfire. I'm like, okay, cool. He's like, where you live? I'm like, I live in, you know, in the Richmond District of San Francisco. And he was like, oh, perfect, you know?
Hmm.
And so then he gave me, like, some wheels, and then I was on a Greyhound trip to SoCal to visit my dad, and I popped up, I think, at some park, and they were doing a real demo there, and I met Ferris, and he asked me, he's like, where the fuck are you from? I'm like, well, I've lived in like 10 different places in the last fucking 15 years while I live in the SF. He's like, oh, because you skate like you're from NorCal. He's like, call me on Tuesday. So I'm like, all right, I'm taking the bus back. And he wanted me to jump in the van, but I was like, I don't know, you know, I got to take the bus back. And then I got back and he was like, oh, I'm going to introduce you to, like, I already knew Sean and all those dudes, you know?
Yeah.
A little bit. And then I got back and he was like, I want you to go skate with Tony, Timo. And so I was just skating with Tony. And then Julian called me one day, asked me if I want to go on a skate trip to Arizona.
Had you met Julian yet?
Like, briefly. I mean, I seen him around the neighborhood all the time, you know? It was back when it was still small. Like, the team was small. It was like me, Andrew, Frank, Julian, Timo, Hewitt, and Trujillo was hurt.
Oh.
But that was it. And Cardiel, you know, obviously.
So was the trip kind of like a test run, and then you passed
just
the test?
It was just it was like one of those Julian trips where he just wanted to get out of town for a week.
Oh.
He was like, I just bring this fucking little kid. I think I was like 17 or some shit.
Yeah.
Something like that.
How'd you feel? Were you scared at all, or was it?
No, I didn't care.
Like, you knew about, like, what these guys, their reputation and everything, what they were about?
Well, yeah, because I went, like, they're like, oh, we want to go. Julian calls me, like, I want you to go on this trip to Arizona with me. You know, so I was like, okay, cool. So I go to, he's like, I'll pick you up at Frank's house in the morning. So I go to Frank's house, and we, like, whatever, it was just like 6 Newell bullshit. Dave Dearing got arrested that night.
Classic.
Just for walking outside the house because the cops asked him to come out the house. Whoa. Oh, drunk in public.
No way.
Because they were playing, like, Alyssa and Frank were playing drums and jamming down in the bottom with I think Frank's old homie, also named Errol. But yeah, then me and Frank, I punched Frank that night because we were sitting on the couch, and he was sitting, like, irregularly close to me, smoking cigs, and he kept ashing on my pants, like, fucking with me.
Right.
So I, like, punched him, and he's like, you're in. You got my vote. And so in the morning, we're all sick. Fucking, like, hungover, and Julian's like, oh, I got a head cold, I can't go. But he's like, and then Frank's like, but Timo's still going to drive that way. You can go with him, but he's going to make you fucking cry, you know? And I was like, fuck it, I'm not scared. I know Tony a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Then we drove to Arizona. I don't think we said more than like 5 words the entire way. Almost ran out of gas. We were staying at Hammocky's house. The Creature team was there. And Julian showed up with Andrew and Frank, and Pete showed up with Hits like 4 days later. So it was just me and Tony, Timo, and AZ living at Hammocky's. And Hammocky was gone. We just like lived there.
You guys get the Miata?
No. This was a long fucking time ago. It was like 15 years ago. But then, yeah, so... But we didn't have, like, no filmer or no photographer or anything.
Oh.
Pete made a pretty sick video on his little Digicam. I think it was on YouTube for a while. I don't think it's there anymore. But we just skated pools in parks for, like, a week. And then, I don't know, I've been rolling with them ever since.
How would you... break down the Beauty and the Beast versus skate rock? Similar, completely different?
I'd say completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Beauty and the Beast is like it was hard to go from, because we went from skate rock, the first skate rock to the first Beauty and the Beast. That was like
same year.
We did the whole trip, and then we ended in Portland. And we stayed, me, Tony, and John Alden stayed in Portland for 3 days and then drove like an extra 3 days after first skate rock and then drove to Medford, Oregon, and just went straight back up to start that trip, straight back up the Oregon coast.
Oh, shit.
And it was like kind of a fucking, it was definitely, it was 2 different trips. We were coming off like, they were both fucking super sick, but... They're definitely different in, like, many fucking aspects. Skate rock's just, like, blow up everything, burn the fucking town down, and get the fuck out of there, you know? Beauty and the Beast is more, like, tranquil camping, fucking skate parks all day type shit.
Is it more itinerary? Like, you got a schedule?
I mean, there's usually, like, on anti-hero trips, we might, like, get a demo or two.
Right.
Just to, like, you know, pay for the trip or whatever. But we don't really have that itinerary, just like whatever Julian wants to do. Like,
yeah,
he might want to stay in a town two nights, or he might want to fucking drive three states over at the drop of a dime.
That's gnarly, going from a skate rock trip right into another trip.
Yeah, and we did Beauty and the Beast, and what did I do after that? Oh yeah, that was when I went to Minnesota after that.
Huh.
And I flew to Minnesota with Darren and Massimo, and he was like, I only bought you a one-way ticket. I was like, fuck.
What?
Yeah, because I think I might have told him that I was going to meet some people, but like was probably like hella baked and just forgot about it, you know?
Yeah.
So then at the end of the skate contest, Darren just like throws me my backpack and is like, good luck. And I was like, fuck. So then this was like 2 days after Beauty and the Beast or something, like really close turnaround. And so I winded up seeing Hammocky, and I'm like, Hammocky, I'm stranded. I have no cell phone. My fucking cell phone was in Preston's backpack from Beauty and the Beast.
Whoa.
So I didn't have a phone or any money. And so Hammocky's like, yeah, you can stay with this dude for like a weekend. It was fucking Clive Singleton. And there's a lot of fucking, I got a lot of funny stories about that weekend. And we stayed with the Ulu, Emmerich Pratt, me, Robbie Brockle, and Hammocky. And then I got a hold of Joe Brook, and he was on a Habitat trip. And I'm like, I don't have anywhere to go, I don't have nothing to do. So then he tells me, meet me in Cincinnati. And this is like, I mean, these stories I could tell you like in detail, but yeah. I won't do that. So then I get Julian wiring me a Greyhound ticket to Cincinnati from Minneapolis. It was supposed to be 16 hours, but it took 36. Like, spent like 24 hours in the Chicago Greyhound station, like overnight. Like, it's cross street from Cook County Jail.
Yeah.
Like a tiny little white kid. It was like,
holy shit.
And then
shit.
I finally get there and I go on that trip with those dudes. And
was
then
that Skatopia?
Yeah, that was when we went. We skated Cincinnati and around Ohio. And but then by that time, everybody left. So it was just me, Fred Gall, Metal Lou from Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
The one dude, filmer, I forget his name, and Joe Brook. And then we went there. Skate Rock, or Indie Tour was Skatopia. And all the dudes like Preston and Rhino and Hits, and they're like, come with us. Just come with us and keep it going. But like Lance Dawes wasn't feeling it, you know? He's like, I'm not feeling it. So then Joe Brook got somebody to buy me a plane ticket home. So the next day, I went to work at Low Card and left early because I was kind of tired.
Uh-huh.
And I got home to my house being raided by the my house just got raided by the FBI that day.
Whoa.
And so I had to break in the back door or the back window through the fire escape, and all my shit was everywhere, so I fucking panicked. So I had to go back down the fire escape because they screwed the door shut. Like, the feds, like, bust that shit in. So I called Julian. I'm like, dude, I don't know what to do. And so I ran the North Beach, and he's like, Trujillo's going to go meet the Indy team on a Greyhound bus tomorrow morning. I'll buy you a ticket. Just stay here. And I had, like, no backpack or no fucking clothes still. And I'm like, I just got off the gnarliest Greyhound trip, like, 2 days ago, and I got to go do it again. And so then he's like, I'm not even going to. I'm like, that dude hated on me. He didn't know me. He didn't want me to come. And he's like, fuck it. I don't care. You're going. And so he just bought me a ticket, and he's like, I'm not telling them that you're coming. I'm like, well, I can't either because I don't have a fucking cell phone.
Yeah.
He's like, it's all good. You show up with Trujillo, no one's going to say shit. So me and Trujillo show up. That was another – Greyhound's always a fucking a trip. But then we showed up and just went – then I went straight to the Indy trip for like 6 weeks or something, you know? It was like fucking hell of a – that was a hell of a summer right there. I was, like, wearing the same Dickies and the same cut-off fucking flannel T-shirt for, like, fucking 4 months or something.
What did the FBI raid your house for?
Oh, because someone shipped a package of weed.
Oh, in the mail?
Yeah, and put their return address on it,
uh-huh.
Like an idiot. And so they came in thinking it was, like, a massive operation. But it was just, like, my homie had, like, 20 plants. But then there was, like, some other stuff.
Did you guys get fucked with, or?
No, because he got, like, he paid out of pocket, like, for a good lawyer.
Uh-huh.
I never had to do anything, but I remember looking at the paperwork. I'm like, fuck, I got 6 felonies.
Fuck.
You know? Just because, and I slept on a fucking couch. I just had my birth certificate in this dresser.
Yeah.
But, so I was just, like, guilty by association for the most part. I'll just keep leave that at that.
And so then when, how did you get into Crete? How'd you get in with the grind line and all that?
So I was tired of living on food stamps and selling weed for a living. So Jason Ferris is going to get me in this welding school. This is like over 10 years ago. But I had to get my GED, which I still don't have. So I went to take my GED, and I'm like, oh, you need $80 to pay for it. So I go to Deluxe, and I'm like, this is when Jason still worked at Deluxe. And I'm like, dude, can I get some stuff to sell to get my GED to get in that class, you know? He's like, sure. And he just gave me like a fucking fat box of shit. It was probably like $200 worth of shit. So I sold it all like instantly to my roommates and stuff, you know? So then I had like, I don't know, probably like $200. And that was a Friday. And then let's just say, long story short, I woke up on Sunday with a fucking wicked hangover and no money. So I'm laying at Potrero just like devastated. Like, fuck, Jason's going to be so bummed on me. Yeah. And I can't take my GED test tomorrow because the school started like in like 2 days after that. And then so I'm just laying at the park and in the grass, and Danger just kicked me. You want to come to work tomorrow? And I'm like, look up, like, serious? He's like, yeah. And then so me and Sean went there. I worked for a week. And Rob was like, you're in.
Was that St. Helena?
Remember, you drove me there.
St. Helena?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was the first job.
Yeah, you drove me, you, Sean, and you and Drehobel drove me and Sean and dropped us off there.
Sick, yeah. Because we got to skate there before it was even done. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, that was with Rabbi, right?
Yep. You remember that day when you guys came when it was finished? And we're sitting there after work. And Jake shows up. You came with Jake.
Oh, fuck.
And Jake was like,
he went to the hospital.
He was like, what's up, Hubbard? Can we skate? And he goes, knock yourself out. Jake's first run hits a rock and knocks himself out and splits his head open.
Yeah.
That was fucking like.
St. Helena Hospital.
Yeah.
Fuck, right on delivery. I forgot about that.
Yeah, knock yourself out. First run.
Dude.
Hits a rock and fucking knocks himself out.
I really forgot about that. That rules. Yeah. So that was the first job.
That was my first grindline job.
And then were you kind of in, or were you doing it spontaneously? And then you went forward.
I just dove into it.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm like, I get to build skating. Mm-hmm. I get to build shit and work. And like, you know, at that time, the money to me was like ridiculous, mm-hmm. you know? I was working at a fucking pizza shop for $7.15 an hour.
Yeah.
You know? I get to make like almost twice that much.
Yeah,
at the time, it was
and
10 years ago.
Check out different zones. Where's the best place you've been, you think, through building skate parks? You just went to Dubai, right?
Yeah, I'd say that's the worst place I've been. For sure, hands down. The best place? Fucking right down the street, Hilltop. That was dope, and drive 5 minutes from my house.
Yeah, Copenhagen was good, right?
Yeah, years in Copenhagen. I got a lot of friends and people there, like family.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did, I mean... Winters out there
brutal.
Get really brutal when you got to work outside. But the summers are like amazing for like a month.
Yeah, I remember when I went there, it was like dudes were locked up all year, and then they got the fucking, they were hibernation to fucking Vikings gone wild.
Oh, dude, every time I would go there for like nine months or more and come back, it's just like fucking see you later. Yeah. Forget about it.
Talk about that trip, though.
Which one?
That was fucking Copenhagen to Paris, bad shit with Dinosaur Jr., fucking indoor museum skating, and you got the cover.
Yeah. I'll start it with, we were finishing Copenhagen, and I'd been there for probably like 6 months. We finished the park, lived there at the park. Long story short, they had the party there. We still lived there. Jake shows up one morning and like he just gets into my little apartment somewhere, or my little trailer shack where I slept, and just fucking socked me in the leg to wake me up like super hard. This is what your fucking life's become? I'm like, I guess. And he's like, we're going to Paris after this. You got to come. And I'm like, all right. I guess I was going to go home, you know? And we had another job to do in Denmark, but I'm like, okay, I'll go to Paris. So I bought a plane ticket right there. I think it was $500 last minute. And then me and Sean and Nick Face and Dustin Dolan were all on out of the same flight. Everybody was already there. The train broke down on our way from the airport. So we sat in this train. It was like 110 degrees. I got some funny fucking photos of us on this train for like over a couple hours. Like, it was a long fucking time. And then we get, by the time we get there, Dustin's like, all right, I got you. And me and Sean's phones don't work. We get to Paris. So we go meet Dustin's girlfriend at this bar. And then he's just like, literally, like, buys us a round of beers. He's like, all right, later, guys. And we're like, well, where we got to meet Jake and Schmitty and Preston? And where the fuck are they? He's like, oh, they're just down there, over there somewhere. And of course, again, it starts raining. Always got to be in the rain.
Yeah.
And so we go there, and the dude won't let us stay in the hostel like midnight.
Right.
And so me and Preston and Sean and my little sister are just like cruising streets of Paris all night, sleep on some benches by one of them little Liffey rivers.
Holy
and
shit.
We got back at 8, and Preston's all like buzzed up on wine. And I'm like, dude, maybe just let me talk to this dude, you know? And Preston's
the guy
like,
at the
nah.
hotel.
Yeah, Preston's like, nah. And then I'm like, this is like never going to work, dude. And he pulled it. He always do that shit, you know?
Yeah.
And he got us in the room, and I think we might have stayed there one night.
Yep. There was
and
six
then Jake,
of us.
Yeah, and then, yeah, in that in the fucking, like, basically one-bedroom room.
Yeah, it was like 1.5 beds. Me, you,
my
Gut,
sister.
Jenna, Jake, and Peastone.
Wasn't Burnett in there, too?
No, nah, Burnett had his own hotel, okay. Like, down the block or something.
I have the photo of us, of me, Burnett, and Jake.
Dude.
And Preston.
All I remember is you guys, like, took forever to get there in our minds because of all that shit that happened.
I had to go to an internet cafe and buy time on the phone to call my sister to get the address and then ask if French people don't really care for you when you're American, you know? Like, hi, I'm just some lost drunk American. With his fucking orange construction shirt on, you know?
All I remember is Preston going, oh, I see, living on the run, huh? Living on the run, can't even get to the fucking hotel. Yeah.
He was fucking on fire.
He was so on fire. And then you guys...
96 times, Schmitty.
And then you
guys, 96 times I've been to Europe. You just start listening to me.
Yeah.
96 times.
He was
like,
so...
Dave, you been to Europe 96 times?
Dude, you don't think I've been to this one? Come on. But you guys took the bottle of wine out at night, and then
Jake's
fucking Jake woke up
my
and sweat out his
it.
Boxers.
Yeah, and his barefoot.
Hunted you guys down. That was the funnest shit ever. Dude, getting like the sushi catering meal at the museum. And then describe that fucking skate home, whatever it was.
It was like an art piece, I think. But yeah, that was crazy because it was in that museum.
It was like modeled like a bedroom or a living room.
Yeah, I think it was actually like, I don't
futuristic.
Remember, but I want to say it was like a model for like an actual something that, like an idea. Like, we can have this tiny skate home.
Uh-huh.
You know? It's an art piece, but like you can like actually live in it or something.
Yeah, like.
I remember somebody telling me some shit about that, but it was like in one ear and out the other, and I didn't really fucking care. I thought that thing was pretty stupid anyway. Looked cool. It's hard to skate.
Yeah.
But I remember, yeah, Jake was like, they didn't have any beer in there. And Jake's like, drink wine. And I'm like, I don't really like wine. He's like, if you're going to drink wine once in your life, right now is the time to do it. So I guess they had like some fucking 300-year-old French wine in the oldest fucking art museum in Paris,
right.
France, you know?
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I don't know, I was doing kick turns to like hype Sean up. Because we were just skating together.
Uh-huh.
Burnett's like, let me shoot that photo. We did a kick turn. And then Sean got a photo in the mag doing the backside flip. And I have the black and white photo of it.
Over a street gap?
No, backside flip in,
oh, in there?
In the pipe.
Yeah.
But you can see me because I have a black and white photo of it. And I caught Burnett's flash because it looks sick.
Oh.
And, cause it, and then, but if you look in that mag, if you look in that issue, you can see me taking the photo in the background.
Sick.
And I have the photo.
Oh, rad.
Kind of cool. But yeah.
At that time, there was no thought of like this. You just thought you were skating and shooting a photo, right?
Well, yeah, it's doing a fucking kick turn in like a 6-foot fucking quarter pipe.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember we went in to go have a glass of wine with Jake, and he was showing Jake the photo because my face looks all fucked up in it, you know?
Huh.
And he's like, look, he's like, Jake's like, or Burnett's like, that's a face only a mother could love. And I was like, fuck, dude, my mom's dead, so I guess no one's ever going to love my face. And then he just looked at me hella crazy. I was just making a joke, you know?
Yeah.
And he just looked at me hella crazy, and I just laughed. And then Jake's like, let me see it. And Jake's like, that's the cover. That's the cover shot.
No way.
And I was like, I didn't think nothing. I was like, yeah, right full, like, kick turn, and
yeah,
no way. But I guess it's just like the aesthetics of the photo. But then I go back to Copenhagen after that to go work in Denmark. And remember, I was sitting on the train, and I had that, like, the little burner phone, European phone.
Yeah.
And you're like, yo, check out the website.
Yeah.
There's something you should look at.
That's how it was. I thought maybe we FaceTimed, but it was before
no.
that.
No, because it was on the little, I had the super shitty little phone, uh-huh. little, like, 7-Eleven phone.
Okay.
And you're like, check out the website. And I was on the train back to Copenhagen, which is, like, a three-hour trip. And I get there, Rune's house, and I'm like, bro, I thought it was, like, a Preston edit or something.
Uh-huh.
And then he was like, I'm like, check out the website. He's like on his laptop in the corner, you know. He's like, I don't see anything. I'm like, all right, fuck it. I don't know what he's talking about. They didn't even give a shit, really.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, and turns around and looks at me hella crazy. And then just turns the fucking computer around. And I was like, oh, no, that's just one of those stoke of the days, you know. And he's like, no.
That's right.
It's real. And yeah. I remember I texted you back. I'm like, is that fucking real or what? And you're like, yeah. And I was like, oh, cool. And we went out, and I didn't even want to go out that night. But Rune's like, we have to go party.
Celebrate. Yeah, because at that time on the website, we had Stoke of the Day, which was a fabricated cover.
Yeah, it was like a
it was like photo graffiti cover. A Thrasher cover.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Right.
You know? And I'm like, whatever with that, you know? Like, that's cool, I guess, you know? But then to come to find out that it was that was real, I was like, whoa.
So sick. That was just like, for me, it was like the nail. Like, that trip was just really sick. It was one of my favorites. It was like, holy shit. And then you got the cover, too. It was like, yeah, of course.
97 times, Smitty.
97 times.
Or was it 96?
Smitty, you don't think I've ever taken care of Jake? It's your turn.
Yeah.
You take care of him. I was like, dude, he's on mushrooms. Yeah. He just stole a bunch of shit. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. And Jake, Preston is like, welcome to my world.
Yeah. For real.
It was, yeah, that was insane. And that then was definitely
a good one.
And then we took the shuttle to the airport with Jay Maskus and Lou Barlow. Like, the next morning, we're on the shuttle with Dinosaur Jr. going to the airport. And I just remember, like, damn.
I don't remember that. I might have been on a different flight. Because me and Sean got that other hotel room.
Yeah, I think it was just me, Jenna, and Preston on the flight home for some reason. I'm not sure.
I'm personally not a fan of Dinosaur Genius, so I don't really give a fuck. But.
Yeah, I was a fan. I liked them.
Not hating, just saying.
Yeah. All right, we got a few phone calls here. Let's go to the phone lines here.
We got phone calls?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
This is Nasty Matt calling in for Ryan, a.k.a. Peabody. What's your favorite beers internationally? No Mexico, no America. All international. I know you like fucking Coors. Let's hear the international shit. Come on, bud.
Is that Nick?
Yeah, Nick.
Dude, to be honest, I really like the Danish beers, like the Carlsbergs. Are good.
Mm-hmm.
And like, obviously, like, I really like a good pint of Guinness, but those are like, you can't get a good pint of Guinness anywhere, even the fucking shithouse Irish pubs,
Edinburgh Castle.
They don't pour it in the right glass. They don't pour it the right way, you know.
Uh-huh.
I've been there to the fucking brewery and learned or had them tell you why and how they do it. If it's not done in proper way, it won't ferment the same way, you know.
Yeah. Where is that brewery?
In Dublin, in north Dublin,
in
Ireland.
Dublin, oh.
Oh, but yeah, let's just say Carlsberg. I'll fuck with some Carlsberg, some Tuborgs, Guinness, Bintang's completely out, Nick. That shit actually has formaldehyde in it. I had like a 3-day withdrawal when we came back from Bali.
Damn.
Just from that, like, formaldehyde in the brew.
Yeah.
It was fucking gnarly.
Were you always a Coors guy, or did you used to be Budweiser?
I was Bud heavy for a long time.
Uh-huh.
But then I got like, I was like borderline diabetic.
Oh.
And so the doctor was like, if you're not going to stop drinking, you just should drink light beer. It'd be better for you. It's less sugar.
Right.
So I tried Bud Light. Bud Light sucks. And then Coors Light.
Hey, Peabody, what's up? I was just wondering if you're any better at folding T-shirts and if you can handle more than three beers these days.
That was Rob Carlson.
All right, Rob Carlson. Well, I can handle more than three beers, you fucking prick. I got food poisoning at night because you cooked that fucking shitty-ass grade three chicken that was expired. Thank you for that. And, yes, I still fold shirts exactly like how you taught me how to.
Was that your first job? No.
No, but it was.
But you worked for Low Card.
Yeah, like a few days a week.
Uh-huh.
Because he knew I was broke as fuck, so. And we were always skating. He was like, oh, I'll just have you fold the shirts because I don't want to do it.
Did he pay you with burgers or money?
He paid me in $10 an hour.
Oh.
I work 8 hours a day. And that's $80 cash to me back then was a fucking
a lot.
I'm like, sick, I can afford a torta and I don't have to go to Foods Co. and buy some shitty burgers with my food stamp card, you know?
Man, the phone lines are lit up. We can only take a few calls, but we're definitely going to take this one. Sean Gutierrez.
To you, who are the biggest influences in skate park building these days?
Oh, man.
Thanks for calling, Sean.
A lot. There's a lot of people out there that are really doing, like, cool shit, you know? Like, too many to name. There's people all over the world, like, too many names to say.
Yeah.
But people just, like, innovating and pushing for, like, different stuff, I think.
All right. Last caller. We got Fatback.
Okay, Peabody, let's talk about photography, how you got into it. You caught the photo bug, and you were buying Leicas. Talk about your camera falling into a bucket of water. And talk about the cameras that you use, the film, and, like, the moments that you document. You have a crazy archive. I feel like you could make a cool zine or book with the stuff that you shot. And are you still shooting as much as you used to shoot?
So I don't shoot as much as I used to shoot, but I still do quite frequently. But I don't have a camera on my hip like I used to all the time. Well, I did, but I lost that in Ecuador. But I got my first camera was before I was going to go on that crazy Greyhound mission cross country by myself.
Right.
Ken Nagahara gave me an Olympus XA2 and a bag of film. And that just kind of like, I just kind of fell in love with that. And then, Joe, you were always pushing me in the right directions on which cameras to buy and which types of film to use and all that jazz about just getting going on it.
Mm.
And I don't know, what was his other question? There was like five fucking questions in it.
Something about a camera falling in a bucket
of water. Oh, yeah, so I bought it. So Joe is always pressing me to buy this Leica M6, which is like, you know, they're like over $2,000, you know. And he's like, you got to buy an M6. I'm like, dude, I have like this fucking $40 XA2 and I have like $20 in my wallet, you know?
Yeah.
How am I going to buy an M6? And so finally, we were working in Europe and I spent my whole paycheck on the Leica M6 with a little 35 mil lens. And I think it was probably just a few months later, I went to this little DIY spot in Copenhagen. And I was just cruising. I wasn't even planning on working, but this guy's like, oh, could you help me out real quick, you know?
Yeah.
For like 2 seconds. So I'm like, yeah, sure, I got you. So I had the camera around my shoulder. So I took off my flannel and wrapped the camera in my flannel and put on this table. And I guess this dude Stefan was like going through trying to find cigarettes and lifted up my flannel to try and find the pocket, and the camera just happened to roll out and just land in a bucket of dirty concrete water.
Oh.
So I dried it out and got new battery for it, and it seemed to be working just fine. But then we went to China, and I shot probably like 20 rolls in China, and I think I got like maybe 4 good photos.
Whoa.
From like 20 rolls.
Fuck.
Because all the interior's all fucked up. So then I sent it to Leica in New Jersey, paid $500, and basically have a brand new Leica M6. So now it works like a charm. Worked better than I did when I bought it.
Oh, sick.
But yeah, that was...
Big ups to Joe Brook for leading the way with some of those moves on the Leica. I remember why don't you buy a Leica? You're like, dude, I can't even buy a hot dog.
I'm like, dude, I gotta overdraw my bank account to buy a fucking burrito. Do you think they take food stamps?
Fuck. Can you explain to me what's going on with the mission?
What
happened to the mission, dude?
No, I cannot. gentrification at its finest. I get pushed out of 1, 2, 3, 4 houses.
Right.
Just in the last, like, I don't know, I'd say, well, over the course of 10 years. But places that you live at for years upon years.
Uh-huh.
Like, my sister had an apartment, and then my cousin took it over, and then I took it over. This is, like, years we'd been there. And it was always, like, $1,500 for, like, a two-bedroom, one bath, and a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady's like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to switch the lease into my name. And she, like, wanted to double it. And it's like, I could almost afford it if I tried.
Yeah.
But it was just the audacity of it. I was like, well, you can just go fuck yourself. Like, I'll take a couple $100 increase, you know?
Yeah.
But fuck, like double, which sucks because it was right down the street from the park.
But no renter's protection.
Nope. They got a loophole.
Huh.
Because at least if it would have been like, if my cousin would have kept the lease in his name, but he wanted to switch it to mine, so then that's where they get you. Because then now they're like, but they would have to come in. We would have to move out anyway, and then they have to redo everything because it's run down.
Yeah.
Been occupied by my sister and my cousin for, you know, 10 years would right. be at this point. So.
God damn. What's up with these motorized skateboards everywhere? Scooters, skateboards, uniwheels.
It's fucking lazy motherfuckers.
It's like a circus
dude.
Out there.
I know. Lazy motherfuckers. I like to push.
We got a text message from your sister, Jenna. She really wants to know what your favorite cat is.
My favorite cat?
Yeah.
Oh, she's probably just fishing for Moxie.
Moxie?
Yeah, that'd be the one I had a picture of sitting on my head.
Oh, okay. What kind of cat is that?
Black and with a little bit of white spots on it.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know.
Do you get bummed when people call her C-Body?
No, I don't even know where that came from.
It's like, obvious. It's like your cousin's T-Body or whatever. Yeah. It's like everything's body.
No. I think, well, I mean, all my friends just call it my sister.
Yeah.
What's up with your sister?
Right.
Not like, what's up with C-Body? I'd be like,
Felper texting in wants to know, why was Marty the best thing to ever happen to Pouring Concrete, and do you still tag?
I mean, sometimes you catch me, like, drunk with my graffiti friends. I'll, like, write some bullshit on the wall, but I've never had, like, a graffiti name.
Uh-huh.
But I'd say Marty was the best thing to ever, well, you know, I mean, best thing because he just had, like, this, like, Jedi way to it, you know? Like, he could just pull shit off that you would never even believe. And he didn't care about the, he never cared about the money. He never cared about the outcome. He just wanted to build, he always would just say, he's like, I don't fucking care. I just want to build the best skate park in the world. He goes, if we make it, we make it. If we don't, we'll try again.
Uh-huh.
Like, one time he didn't like a design, and we went back. We were living in the Grindline office, and Matt from the office had printed out a footprint of the skate park, and he had a whiteout pen right next to it. And he says, and there's a little note: white out the parts of the park that you're gonna change. And he whited out the whole fucking thing, you know. And that was when he told me, he's like, he's just like, I just want to build best skate parks in the fucking world.
Rat.
Fuck this shit. You know? Like, he didn't care about the money. Like, he wasn't no millionaire. He wasn't living on no salary. Like, he's eating, like, grilled cheese and tomato soup every night.
Uh-huh.
Like, everyone has this, like, perception of him. Like, he was some big shot.
Yeah.
Not even close, you know?
Right.
But he was just, like, organic, all about skating and just being on the front lines, building skating and progressing it and trying to build the best park in the fucking world.
Yeah, dude. You know? The fucking best. What do you think one of the best parks that you guys have been, like, that you've been a part of building?
I mean, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, so some people might think differently, you know?
Uh-huh.
But St. Helena's still really good. Like, Copenhagen's really good. I don't know, dude. There's so fucking many.
Yeah.
Lake Elsinore we just did is really good.
Uh-huh.
That one's almost done.
What's the worst one you've done?
The worst one I've done. Bob's. No, I don't know. probably like that one we did in Dubai. It's pretty fucking shitty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that wasn't our fault, though.
What was so bad about Dubai?
We had to work the night shift because it was 134 degrees when we get there at 3 o'clock. Super humid. It's on the Arabian Gulf. It's like 118 to 120 in the middle of the night. And they just had us working. We just worked like crazy fucking hours for like 40 days straight. Just in the sand. Like, you walk like 10 miles in your work boots in sand. Like, our feet were fucking raw or like chafing everywhere. Like, you just start sweating the fuck. Like, just sitting there.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like sandstorms. And the biggest part about it is you couldn't buy beer. You have to have a license to buy beer.
Uh-huh.
And you have to buy beer is like buying drugs. You got to have some dude come who has a license to, like, owns a bar or something to go get it, you know?
Whoa.
So it's like you couldn't even come home from work after, like, a 16-hour day in the heat and, like, just have a cold one, you know?
Oh, fuck.
And just, like, we lived in, like, some shitty little apartment.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the money was good, so it was worth it. But I don't think I'll go back to Dubai again.
No.
And then the design was shit. The concrete mix was shit. The people we work with were shit.
Just a shitty overalls.
It was just like, yeah. So I'd say that was probably like world record.
You've been on fucking a majority of the skate rocks. You probably haven't been on everyone, but you've been on a lot.
I missed two.
You missed two. What's like one of the gnarliest things out of all of them that is like sticks out in your head?
Fuck, man. I don't really remember much because we've been drinking a lot on those trips.
Yeah.
The gnarliest? I don't know. There was some super heavy skating. I mean, I wasn't there for that car crash in South Africa.
Oh, fuck,
I'd
yeah.
say that might have been one of the gnarlier things. Oh, the brawl in China.
Were you there in China?
I was going to say no. But, yeah, that was fucking pretty gnarly. Skating was gnarliest. I mean, what was that one town? That dude thought we stole his fucking wedding ring. In
Mississippi.
Yeah. Jackson, Mississippi.
Holy shit. That was, because I haven't been on any of the international ones, but that one was so insane. I remember I was driving the car and the dude came at us. He thought fucking somehow somebody took his wedding ring. And then fucking Frank came out and fucking started haymakering.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? Everyone jumps in. We just haul ass back to the hotel and then cops everything.
Yeah, I was hiding in the van.
Dude.
I was hiding under the seat of the van because that's where I was sleeping anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, then everyone was like pressing, like ripped the fucking gutter off the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like gutter challenge and ripped that. Oh, I don't.
Yep.
All types of fucking.
And then the next day, we were supposed to go to, like, somewhere else in Mississippi, and they called ahead, and they were like, just get out of the state.
Yeah, so we went straight to New Orleans.
It was like Smokey the Bandit.
Yeah.
I remember just going, holy shit.
Remember we couldn't drive all the vans together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had to stop. Like, remember we pulled over and
like a Cracker Barrel or something.
Yeah, like a Cracker Barrel, yeah. Yeah. And we were in our van. And Joe was like, we had to eat a Cracker Barrel for an hour and let those other dudes get on the way.
Dude, we had the best van. Fucking Fatty with a bottle of Ghost. Timo and Sean started getting a fight for something, and Timo got knocked out for half the ride.
Yeah, we stacked a bunch of trash on him.
Oh, my God. That was so sick.
Yeah, and we had Austin.
Yeah.
Well, because...
And Nick. And Joe.
We were tripping on set hoppers. Because, like, if you jumped van... Because Pat jumped van instantly.
Right. And then he got thrown in jail.
That was the theme of the trip was, you in that van, you stay in that fucking van.
Yep.
And me and Fatty stayed in that van the whole time. We slept in it every night, me and him and Austin. And one night, I remember Fatty coming up to the van. And he's like, dude, I got a room. They gave us a room. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. And then one night on the entire trip, we had a hotel room.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that.
Because we were just sleeping in the van. Me, because there's three seats.
Uh-huh.
I had one, Fatty had one, and then Austin had one.
Yeah.
And yeah, we had the room one night.
I remember that one was my Preston story on that one is we were in New Orleans. It was almost the last day of the trip, and we were at that shitty park or whatever that right before we go to the gig, and I was trying to follow Trujillo and Trixie, and they took off. So I'm driving, and the door's still open. Fatty's already in, but the door ain't closed.
Yeah.
And Preston's like, Smitty, you never leave without the door closing. Yeah. And he starts yelling at me. I was like, dude, come on. All right. Well, fuck, dude. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Yeah.
We got an introduction on our way out. You get to introduce a song, Bad Shit, Grindline, something that we got the rights to.
We'll do Grindline the band.
Yep.
Salbasauce, because I hated this fucking song, because Hubbard would play it. We'd be working in Houston, Texas, and he would never stop playing it. And I'm like, fucking, I hate this song, Salbasauce, you know?
All right.
It's not even like a diss on Salba. It's just like the song, like, written by Andrew Culverson. But Hubbard would play it nonstop. And I've been playing it a lot lately, you know? In light of recent events.
Definitely.
Yeah, so you just play that one. We probably have the rights to that.
Fuck yeah. We miss you, Hubbard. Fucking thanks for coming in, bud. And fucking,
yeah, man, no problem.
We'll be back next week. Peace.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, please subscribe now on Anchor, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like this show, one of the best ways to show some love is to write up a review. I always appreciate to hear your thoughts, and detailed reviews are the best way for people to discover us.
Also, a big shout out to our executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it.